It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you'll wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers. And welcome to episode 30 of the Podketeer Podcast. Hooray, episode 30. I'm afraid I'm not doing much of anything special for today's podcast. I'm going to have the second half of the segment that I recorded on Tomorrowland. Now, this one is recorded by a high-dollar announcer, me. I didn't use the robot announcers because I think long stretches of robot announcers are kind of hard to listen to, so I'm not going to do those anymore like that. I'll have little short stretches. I tried piecing that one together with several of the robot announcers, mixing it up so that it was, a little different, wasn't the same voice for the whole thing, but it still, I didn't like how it sounded. So I apologize if you didn't like what it sounded either. So you get me instead. And I mixed in a little music in the background. So hopefully it's something worth listening to. You know, like I said before, this show just continues to morph. I'll try a little of this and a little of that. So without further ado, on with the Tomorrowland segment. And then I've got something else I'm going to play for you. We'll see what. It'll be a surprise to both of us. So on with the show. Hello, Podketeers. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to personally read the second segment of our Tomorrowland close-up here. What it is, I listened to part one. And I just don't like how it's sounding. I have tried my best to use those voices in a fashion to where they're easy to listen to. Unfortunately, the pronunciation of some things will sound great in one sentence, and on the very next sentence, the same pronunciation, same word, same spelling, it comes out different. And I don't like how it's sounding. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start doing these segments myself. Because I think that it's only right if you're going to take your time and trouble to download the show that I should at least make it something that's worth listening to. Okay, here we go with part two. Now, as we spoke about in the last episode, Walt Disney died on December the 15th of 1966. It was almost 7 months before the new Tomorrowland would open. In 1967, the area was completely rebuilt with new attractions and scenery. The original layout was demolished and a new set of buildings were erected. The addition of the Carousel of Progress, Adventure Through Inner Space, we spoke about, an improved and larger Circle Vision Auditorium, the Flight to the Moon, and the People Mover helped give Tomorrowland its World on the Move theme. Now, in 1973, the World on the Move began to change. General Electric decided to close the Carousel of Progress, which would later reopen in a new home at Walt Disney World in 1975 as part of its expansion. In 1974, with the American Bicentennial approaching, Disney designers seized the opportunity of the vacant Carousel Theater to present a large musical extravaganza called America Sings, which featured 114 audio animatronic figures. And it featured Burl Ives as the lead singer and the MC. The following year, the flight to the moon was updated into Mission to Mars. As the actual flights to the moon had become a reality since the former's construction. Then in 1975, construction began on what Walt Disney had originally called the spaceport. In May 1977, this project opened to the public as Space Mountain. The same year, the Super Speed Tunnel was added as part of the People Mover experience. This consisted of white painted walls and fast-moving images along with fans that gave you the illusion of traveling faster than the snail's pace that the People Mover actually ran at. Now in 1984, the Circle Vision 360 received a brand new travelogue of the United States to replace the aging America the Beautiful film. American Journeys, it was called. And 2 years later, two new attractions found homes at Tomorrowland. Star Tours and Captain EO. Now, Captain EO replaced the space stage, which was, as it sounds, a spot where different bands and so forth would play. And that was in September 1986. Star Tours replaced the Adventure Through Inner Space in January 1987. Tomorrowland then remained largely unchanged for much of the following decade until the land was again remodeled in 1998. Tomorrowland's facelift in 1998 was loosely based on the retro-futurist concepts that Disneyland Paris's Discoveryland featured. The entire land was painted in bronzes, golds, and dark browns with occasional green highlights. New landscaping featured apparent vegetable plots and made reference to neo-agrarian concepts. I don't recall that, but I'm sure it must have been there. The flagship attraction of the makeover was the Rocket Rods, which attempted to run a fast-paced ride on the former slow-paced People Mover track. The ride would close 3 years later due to intractable mechanical problems. What it kept doing is it would blow the tires out on the ride, and they could not get it to stop doing it because it was basically trying to take corners tighter than they were intended, and the geometry just didn't work. Many of the attractions remain fundamentally the same, but Circle Vision, Captain EO, and Mission to Mars were all removed. The space formerly occupied by Circle Vision was partly used for the queue of the Rocket Rods. The queue took advantage of the movie screens left over from Circle Vision and showed transportation innovations with Disney themes, and it featured an audio animatronic Tom Morrow robot voiced by Robin Williams. Now this queue became increasingly annoying, however, as you watch the same show over and over and over due to the delays caused by the repeated mechanical failures on the Rocket Rods. Now, I rode it the very first day the Rocket Rods opened, and I was in line for over 3.5 hours and spent 2 hours in that room, and it became torture. Now, Captain EO was replaced by Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which has the distinction of being the only attraction to be replaced by the same attraction that it replaced to begin with. And that was in January 2010 when it closed to make way for Captain EO, which reopened due to the large public outcry for the film from Michael Jackson due to his untimely death in June 2009. Now, it's a limited engagement, although nobody has set a date for when it's going to close. So, Anybody's guess as to when that's going to happen, I don't know. Now, Mission to Mars, which was shut down and had been silent for a long time, was finally replaced by a restaurant called Red Rocket's Pizza Port. Now, this helped solve two problems for Disney. It gave them much-needed sit-down meal service in Tomorrowland, which had been in short supply for a long time. And it gave them a way to replace the Mission to Mars without spending a bunch of money. A restaurant is far cheaper than another attraction featuring a whole bunch of computer-animated figures. Not computer-animated, audio-animatronic. Whole different ballgame. The Rocket Jets attraction was redressed as a moving sculpture called the Observatron that originally featured a high-powered music and laser light show. Now, this is something that didn't last very long. The laser light show was shut down shortly after its initial run due to conflicts arising with the John Wayne Airport's air traffic. Apparently, the laser was interfering with the airliners coming in to land, and so they had to shut that part of it down. And also, a ride quite similar to the original Rocket Jets attraction called the Astro Orbiter was placed at ground level at the entrance to Tomorrowland, and of course, it's still there today. Now, the former America Sings Carousel of Progress Theater building, of course, became Innoventions, which is an ever-evolving technology showcase, which has been redone a couple of times. In September, following the opening of the new Tomorrowland, the Submarine Voyages closed. And in 1994, the Skyway linking Tomorrowland and Fantasyland was closed and removed, all except for one thing. The Swiss Chalet, which was the Fantasyland end of the ride, that building's actually still there. If you get over by the Village House restaurant, there's a couple of queues there where they sell sodas and odds and ends and pens and things like that. If you look up behind there, up in the trees, you could see the building that was used for the Fantasyland end of the Skyway. And it's still there. All right, in 2003, Space Mountain was closed for 2 full years as the ride was refurbished and the track was completely replaced. And the former Rocket Rods Q building was converted into Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters. And that was opened in 2005. And also in 2005, in February, they repainted Tomorrowland in whites, blues, and silvers, and gold and bronze for the 50th anniversary celebration. And also, apparently, there was a repair made to the Astro Orbiter because some of the mechanisms caused the top to rotate improperly, and that was repaired in 2005, which I had never noticed. So, in 2007, the Submarine Voyage reopened as Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, with the submarines completely refurbished and painted a different color. And also in 2007, the Disney monorails began phasing out the Mark 5 monorails and bringing in the Mark 7s. They are just a more streamlined version of what they had had. They look very similar. I know they're completely redone mechanically and it's a whole new monorail, but it doesn't look that much different. A little bit more futuristic, I guess. In July 2010, Disneyland Star Wars motion simulator ride, the Star Tours, reopened with the new version. You know, just a short little mention on that. I work in aerospace and have been around motion simulators the actual flight simulators that they use to train pilots. And one thing I noticed right before the Star Tours ride shut down, that they were having some mechanical problems with that. So I think not only did they do it for the sake of making the ride better, but I think it was something that had to be done for safety's sake. Because there were some definite mechanical problems with that thing. So I think that they changed it just about when it needed to be changed. Well, I hope you enjoyed this little segment on Tomorrowland, part two. And I hope I did as good a job as Carrie Foppins did. Now, you'll still be hearing her and some of the other voices, but I'm not going to do long segments like this using those voices because they just don't work out. But you'll still be hearing her, so keep your ears open. So on with the rest of the show. Hey, Podcaterians. Hope you enjoyed the audio there. I recorded about Tomorrowland. I think it was slightly informative. Hey, I don't know if you're going out to the leap year thing, but you should definitely go. I have a leap year pin that I bought when I was at Disney World a couple years ago, so I'm going to wear that. Actually, it had to be 4 years ago since it was leap year. So I'll wear that to leap year. And some mouse ears of some kind or another. I'm sure they're going to have special mouse ears. And so I'm going to bring a pocket full of money because I'm sure there's going to be stuff I want to buy. So I would suggest you do too. I'm sure that Disney will take advantage. If there's one thing that the Walt Disney Company is very good at, it's merchandising. You know, I got to thinking about the other day, if you think of food as merchandising, okay? Not just Mickey dolls and hats and that stuff, but if you also think of all the food vendors as merchandising, there's got to be 75% of the people working for that place that are involved in selling you something. Even more if you consider the ticket people as selling you something. But we'll make them as like the ride operators. We won't include them. But if you think of it, like I say, you know, all the people on the carts selling churros and popcorn and people at the stores and people stocking the stores. And it's just incredible the number of people in there whose entire job is to make you part with your money after you've already parted with $100 just to get in there. So, gee, you know, I really like Disney, but sometimes the greed is just getting a little too much. You know, Walt Disney, whether it was true or whether it's just something they wanted to make as part of his the legend of Walt, is that he wanted the average person to be able to afford to go to Disneyland. And there's, I don't know if you've heard that story of Walt going to the park and seeing a nun coming in with a group of indigent kids, and that he walked up to her and asked her, you know, what was going on, and she told him, and then he went over and got their money refunded to them. Now, whether that's really true or not, I don't know, but can you imagine him doing that nowadays? I don't think so. Now, I'm sure they give away a lot of admissions to the park. You know, I'm sure they do, behind the scenes. When we would send them, I worked at a fundraising
for a band and for an elementary school. You know, when you're a parent, you do stuff like that. So I did some fundraising, and we would send Disney requests for passes and so forth, and they would usually send us something. They would usually send us 4 passes to the park, I think was the standard response. If you would ask them for something to auction off at your event. So it wasn't bad. Knott's was a little more generous, but then again, the price of getting into Knott's Berry Farm is far cheaper than the price of getting into Disneyland. So it's a much higher value thing. That's also different. That was something I used to do every year for the bingo, is I would buy the cheap pass and I would donate it. But the cheap pass is now up over $200. So, you know, it used to be $99. So, sorry. Can't afford to donate that anymore. Now when I'm trying to afford to buy my pass has gotten up to $500 now. Yeah, I don't know. The day may come when I'm afraid that I can't afford it, but the day ain't there yet. Especially as long as they allow you to buy your pass with the payments and not pay any interest. That really is a good deal. That makes buying the pass possible for a lot of people. I know a lot of people I work with that if it wasn't set up like that, they wouldn't buy one. And it really benefits Disney to have people with the passes, because do you have any idea how much a year I spend at the park on just incidental little stuff that I would not buy? Because I wouldn't be there if I didn't have the pass. And it's kind of like a gym membership. You know, I don't really, when you don't use the rides, it's like not using your gym membership. You know, if I just come in the park, sit on the bench and go have a hot dog or order some spaghetti or something in there, all they've done is made money. You know, I haven't, the only wear and tear was the turnstiles that came in. So I don't cost the company a lot of money. I'm somebody they want to keep coming. I wonder if they track that. Probably not, because there's no way to tell whether you're riding a ride or not unless they have an RFID chip in the pass, which that's something that if they haven't already done it, I'll bet you they think of it. All right. Well, I'm gonna play you some kind of audio. I've got all sorts of stuff that I haven't ever played before, so I'm gonna grab one of them and play it for you. So here we go.
Join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from all us crazy Disney geeks here on Podcateer.
Hey, Podcateers. Got a cool interview that I drug off of YouTube. It's from 1937. It's with Walt Disney and Donald Duck and a character I'm not familiar with named Clara Cluck. I'm sure you Disney files that know the old animated stuff better than I do are probably familiar with her, but it's a character I haven't heard of. So Clara Cluck, Donald Duck, and Walt Disney. The interviewer gives her name in the interview. I don't recall what it is offhand, but she gives her name. So, on with that.
Elsa Charlotte Reviews. Presenting from Hollywood, California, one of the nation's foremost motion picture previewers. Tonight she has as her guest the most famous and beloved creator of cartoons in the world of motion pictures. 5-time winner of Academy Awards, Walt Disney. Donald Duck and Madam Clara Cluck are here with him also. And by the way, tomorrow is Donald Duck's birthday, and we have a beautiful birthday cake here in the studio celebrating this momentous occasion. And now here is Elsa Schallert.
Thank you, Ken Carpenter. Good evening, friends. Yes, yes, Donald. I know you're getting pretty anxious to cut your beautiful birthday cake.
Yes, one.
But first, I feel that we ought to congratulate Mr. Disney. You see, he won another Academy Award last week for his picture, The Country Cousin. Now, that's quite an honor, Donald. Besides, Donald, I want to whisper something to you. And this is very confidential. You know, your boss, Mr. Walt Disney, is really a wonderful artist. He's brought so much joy and beauty into the world through his creation. Of course, Donald. You've become a friend of everyone, too. Children and grown-ups. I don't know how the ducks feel about you, though. But I guess they envy you because you always seem to have such much fun, you and Madam Clara Cluck. There goes your child. Well, Walt, it's wonderful to have you here. And to think that Donald is 2 years old.
Yes, he's certainly growing fast, Elsa. By the way, that's a beautiful birthday cake. Strictly speaking, Donald's birthday is tomorrow, and all the schools are going to be closed.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Shh, don't say a word. He thinks it's for him.
Oh, yes. Well, Donald, you're a nice little fellow. Happy birthday to you, and I hope you have 100 more.
What are you going to do with a guy like that who sings happy birthday to himself?
Well, Walt, at least he's different.
Eat? Say, where are your manners?
Don't worry, Walt. You know, after all, he's only a baby.
Say, Donald, you're going to end up with no cake if you don't behave yourself.
Walt, maybe we better change the subject. He's always hungry. Well, I started to ask you, Walt, how is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs coming along? There's a picture we're all anxiously awaiting.
Oh, it's come along very well. I believe we've made great strides in animation and color. We've developed a special process for color that gives us dimension.
Hmm.
Depth.
You've been preparing for that for some time, haven't you?
Yes. We've been at it for the past 2 years.
Well, well, that puts you in the Good Earth class. 2 years or longer were involved in making that picture, too.
Yes. Well, we won't be finished completely with Snow White until sometime early next year. You see, Elsa, it's going to run 10 reels, which means a showing time of 1.5 hours. No cartoon production has ever run that long before.
No, I should say not. 1.5 hours, that's a long while. Of course, you know, the idea of making Snow White into your type of creation and adding color to it, I think it's simply marvelous.
Well, it's a well-known fairy tale. Every country's familiar with it. That's why we feel justified in putting $1 million into it.
$1 million? That's a lot of money. That ought to be a good picture. Walt, your problems of production are just about 100 times more difficult to work out than those of a director on a picture, let's say, in which living actors appear.
Well, we have to create personalities out of line drawings.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if we were making Snow White with living actors, we could turn the story over to them, and each actor would introduce bits of business which would build up the character he was playing.
That's right.
But with our little characters, we have to plan out every movement that they make, even to the wink of the eye. In other words, we have to literally pull everything out of the air, and then with a pencil and paper, we start building a picture.
What patience that must take. You know, it makes me dizzy to think of the millions of drawings necessary for a production of this kind.
Some work is right. He ought to know. He gives us plenty of work.
Yes, I imagine so. Walt, I've always been fascinated by the types of men who are part of your group, that is, of your studio. They're unusually fine chaps, very young, intelligent. They all seem very idealistic. Just the sort of men who'd be creating with you this magical world that you've opened up for the millions of us.
Well, Elsa, our studio set up attracts men who have the same feeling for the business that we do. No one becomes a part of the group that isn't in sympathy with our ideals.
Oh, that's very nice. You're a very unique company, certainly. Entirely different from any other studio in Hollywood. We'll eat in just a minute, Donald.
Say, why don't you behave yourself? Look at Clara. She's nice and dignified.
Donald, Walt, I've always felt that you were a modern Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh, no. Andersen was the originator. We've only taken the memories of our childhood and recreated them for the screen.
And in fine form, too. But what about the creation of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse? And our friend Donald and Madame Clara, Pluto and all the rest.
Oh, well, that's different.
Don't blush, Pop.
Who's blushing, fresh guy?
You know, one of the admirable things about your creations, your cartoons, is that you never show cruelty.
Well, that's the one thing that we've tried to avoid in recreating the fairy tales.
Uh-huh.
For instance, in the original, the three little pigs. Two of the little pigs were eaten up by the wolf. Then the wolf was eaten up by the third little pig. But when we made the story, we just had the wolf scare the two little pigs so that they ran to the third little pig's house for protection. Then when the wolf followed the little pigs, he fell down the chimney, and if you remember, a little heat was applied in the right spot, and the wolf went over the hill.
I do remember it. Walt, how many people do you have working at your studio?
500. 250 are working on Snow White, and the rest of them are working on the short subjects.
Say, that's an enormous studio staff. I had no idea you had so many artists. Incidentally, if it can be called incidentally, just what is an animator?
An animator is an artist who makes the drawings move. He puts them through their paces. He's a combination of many things. First, he has to be a real student of art. Next, he has to be a clever draftsman. Then he must have the soul of an actor and the understanding of a director.
Oh, not very much. He certainly can't be limited in any way.
No, he certainly cannot.
I'll bet, Donald, you're glad you're just a duck and not an animator. Be patient, Donald. Just a second. The cake won't run away. Walt, just one more question. What about the brownies? I mean the dwarfs in Snow White. Are they cute?
Sure you're cute when you're quiet. The brownies, I mean the dwarfs. Yes, Elsa, they are cute. We got seven of them. Each a definite personality. One's called Grumpy. He's the woman hater. Hmm. He doesn't want Snow White around the place because he knows she's going to bring trouble. Then there's Doc, the unofficial leader, very pompous. Then we have Bashful, who secretly falls in love with Snow White. And Happy, a very round, fat, and jolly little fellow. And then there's Sneezy, who has hay fever. And Sleepy, who always wakes up in time to solve some heavy problem. And we also have little Dopey. He's the one dwarf without a beard.
Leave it to Donald. He knows. Now, Donald and Madam Clara, you've been very patient. And I think we'll ask Mr. Disney to light the candles on this beautiful cake, and then we're going to cut it. But there's just one more thing. Patience, Donald. It's just that I want to talk to Madame Clara Cluck this time. Madame Clara, you're such a charming personality. Of course, Donald is too. But you've really been a very model guest. Now I wonder if you would honor us by singing a song. I know that it would make Donald's birthday quite complete. What's the matter with Donald? Listen, have I offended her, Walt? What's the matter with her?
Oh, she's just temperamental.
Well,
she says she doesn't want to sing on the same program with Donald Duck.
Oh, how silly. Why, Clara, you shouldn't feel that way. After all, Donald Duck is a great artist, too.
Wait a minute, Elsa. I'm used to handling temperamental animals.
I'll
take a hand here. Okay. Now, listen, Clara. Be a good girl. Stop being temperamental. It's old-fashioned. Mrs. Shallard has been kind to have us on her program. She's asked you to sing. Now, you don't want to be ungracious about it, do you? That's the girl. Wait a minute. We can't have this fighting. Be nice. Now, you two kiss and make up. That's fine. Now, I'll tell you what. Why don't you sing a duet?
What would you suggest, Madam Clara? Very nice. Here are these.
Does she remind you of anyone?
Oh,
her feathers ruffle up on that, I know.
Wonderful.
They're fighting. Somebody's separating. Back them. Hey, look out! Look out! The kids!
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, they still can eat it, even if it is all smashed. Well, cheer up, Donald, but you shouldn't fight. You ought to know better than that. You're a big boy. Anyway, I thank you for being here. You're very sweet, and I'm glad we celebrated our birthday with you. It's wonderful. I hope we'll celebrate many more, Donald. And, Madam Clara, I want to thank you for your lovely song. It was quite wonderful. Good night to you both. Some pair you have there, Walt. I want to say good night to you, too, and thank you for being with us. It was certainly a great joy and a privilege, and we had loads and loads of fun.
Good night, Elsa. And I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Well, believe me, I think we all did.
You know, I was planning on having this be a short show. I just found too much good stuff, so it's going to run a little long. I found this next clip, and the reason I really want to play it this week is January the 18th happens to be Danny Kaye's birthday. He was born in 1913, so wherever the heck that would make this, his birthday. But he was the host of the 25th anniversary special, television special, on Disneyland. And this next clip is the end of the show, and he has some nice things to say about Disneyland, and I like it. And in honor of his birthday, I'm going to play that for you right now.
Years ago, Walt Disney said, Disneyland will be a small world in itself. And his aspirations may be summed up in these words. This will be a place where the young and young at heart will come to share the wonders of a world set apart from the cares and the woes of everyday life. A world full of laughter, free from worry and strife. This will be a place where the memories of the past join the promise of the future and the values that will last, a source of inspiration for the whole human race. It's my dream to see that this will be the place. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears.
Up all our tickets for tonight, but before we go, I would like to mention one fact that I believe contributed greatly to the remarkable success of the first 25 years of Disneyland. I think Disneyland appeals to the whole family because Disneyland is a family. And the people who work here and keep it going are to be congratulated and envied. It's a lovely job, manufacturing happiness. I applaud them, I thank them, and I love them for making all our dreams come true.
Well, Podcateers, that brings us to the end of another show. I hope you enjoyed everything we put out here for you, because we sure try to make it something that you'll enjoy listening to. So y'all, please take care of yourselves and come out here and join us next week. And y'all have a magical Disney week. And hey, we'll see you at the park.
The great caricature artwork on the Podcateer website was created by Disneyland artist Catherine Clark. You may email her at portraitsandcaricatures@yahoo.com. Her blog is located at www.myspace.com/Clark_art. Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse Copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podcateer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.